This is Matt Wells at UN News. The resilience of women-led organisations to continue working across Gaza to benefit their communities is an inspiration, the Special Representative for UN Women in the region said on Wednesday in an interview with UN News. Maryse Guimon from the Palestine office of the UN agency advocating for gender equality described her first mission to the war-stricken enclave since before hostilities began and outlined how they're collaborating with other agencies, providing resources such as food, dignity kits and psychosocial support. She told Abdelmonem Maki the women-led organisations UN Women's been supporting are key responders, many of whom have been displaced multiple times themselves during the ongoing conflict. He first asked her to describe what she'd seen on the ground.
From the moment you enter and that the gate is then closed behind you and you enter, where you go through different spaces around you that I've gone through different types of interventions and so on. You know, it's difficult for me to forget, for example, going through parts of Khan Yunis that it was completely gray. And you had completely around you, all this devastation, all these buildings completely destroyed. And you could still see people living in some of them, trying to make do with that reality. And you would see some people in the street trying to go for food or for water and so on. And then as you keep proceeding, and that part was much less people, but as you're moving towards Deir el-Bala, then you start seeing these kilometers of tents and makeshift settings. And you see these very overcrowded spaces where people are basically sitting on top of each other in very, very limited type of makeshift. You know, the Gaza Strip was already a very small space of 365 square kilometers for more than 2.2 million people. And now you're seeing them being displaced to a ever more smaller and smaller space as it goes forward. So moving around in Mawasi, Khan Yunis, or in Deir el-Bala, you're just surrounded by people. It's extremely difficult to move. And just to, you know, and you're surrounded by people who very often have been displaced multiple times. There's some people I spoke with, they had been displaced 5 times, others had been displaced 10 times. Since October, everyone with extremely difficult stories. One has to understand that, you know, families, old families have been wiped out in some of these airstrikes. And then so you meet people and everyone who you meet has these very, very dire stories.
What did they tell you, the women whom you met in Gaza? What was their message?
The message, well, of the first one was, you know, when will this war stop? Which was very often followed by, when will we be able to go home? Knowing very often that home has been completely destroyed, but the idea of being able to go back and to salvage some type of history of things, because, you know, your home is not just a structure. It takes part of your memories, of your families and everything else, of your pictures. And I have to say that it was very difficult also when children would ask us and would ask me, you know, when will this war be over? When do I go back to my life? This has been going on for nearly 9 months now. And so the women very much also explaining the reality of every day, trying to either access food, you know, they have to very often wait in lines in different parts when there are food. Everything is difficult. Accessing resources like water, food, health services, and so on, it can be quite demanding. It takes a lot of time in a situation. And I think it's important to understand that for the last 9 months, you hear constantly the war. You never not hear it. So even while I was there for a week, I kept hearing the shelling, the bombardments, the drones, even if they're not close, you know, they're not in the street next to you, you are hearing it around, all around you. Talking with the women, also extremely concerned for those with children or for their families of what the future would be like and what they could expect after this. You have to understand that for a lot of women, it's also now they're also taking care of the children, of the elderly in the family, but also of persons with disabilities in their families. And there's been, as you know, quite a lot of cases since with the war, with amputations and so on. So we've seen a growing number also. So that's been their reality and what they've been expressing.
Could you also tell us more about UN Women's efforts on the ground to help those women in Gaza?
Looking at Gaza, obviously we're working with women and girls, but you have to think of the full community because everyone is affected at the end of the day. We've been working very much also with other sister agencies, for example, the World Food Programme, where with a partnership with them, we've been in February until March, we supported provision of food to female-headed households. So, and then we've been working also with the Jordanian Hashemite charitable organization, as well as with the Egyptian Red Crescent and our offices in Jordan and Egypt, in bringing in dignity kits, which, you know, many women have been requesting from the start of the war. So we've been doing a lot of bringing in different types of very essential resources to the populations. We've also obviously worked with women-led organizations. They are key responders during this war. They are working with communities. They've been providing notably the dignity kit, but they've also been providing a lot of psychosocial services. And you can imagine, as I was saying earlier, I mean, it's been 9 months of war, very close to everyone, with people multiply displaced. So you can imagine the level of trauma of men, women, and children. So there's been a lot of work of provision of these types of services and other basic services.
Speaking of UN-led organizations in Gaza, there's a recent study conducted by UN Women found that despite the devastation and the strip, women-led organizations in Gaza are still operating at full capacity. You touch on that, your work with those organizations, but if you could elaborate how these organizations are able to navigate amid this destruction and war.
All humanitarian actors would tell you that, you know, we've rarely faced this level of challenges in trying to provide responses. Everyone would tell you that. However, when I look at women-led organizations, as you've said, they're still operational. It's difficult. There's nothing easy in what they're doing. And it's actually also very inspirational when you look at this capacity to continue. Some of them, like the rest of the population, have been multiply displaced. So their offices also have been displaced, as well as their own staff. Despite that, they've been working with communities. Some of them have been working on safe spaces for women. They've been providing services, as I said, on psychosocial, but also the dignity kit, providing basic products like mattresses and so on. So they do serve their communities as they, you know, has been displaced and so on. So as you said, though, it's quite amazing to see. And they do require more support as we move, you know, in the coming period so that they can continue this very essential work.
The war in Gaza is often described as a war on women. Could you elaborate on that in light of your recent visit to the Strip?
Look, I mean, wars affect all people of a population, obviously. However, we have rarely seen this level of killing and injuring of women. We were reporting a few weeks ago that more than 10,000 women had been killed. Of these, at least more than 6,000 were women. So when you look at the numbers of fatalities and injuries of women, it's unprecedented. And this is why very often we do speak of a war on women.
Do you have a final message?
Ceasefire would be very, very important. I think this is the message that the people of Gaza are bringing forward, and I would like to reinforce that message. Every day that this war continues only brings more destructions and killing. There has to be a stop. We need to move to a just and sustainable political solution that involves everyone. I would also like to pay attention to another element before I forget that the women were saying, and I think we need to hear that, is that one of the things they felt that they've been losing, besides, you know, everything else I've mentioned, is also their dignity, their which is also extremely important.